Are we waiting for anything, Chuck?
You're muted, Chuck.
Can't hear you now.
I started the recording.
Okay, great. Then I'd like to call the Township of Derry Zoning Hearing Board meeting for July 15th to order. And I would ask for a roll call.
Sandy Ballard?
Here.
F. Dean Morgan?
Here.
Lindsay Drew?
Here.
Steve Seidel?
Here.
And Mike Angelou?
Here.
You have a full quorum.
Great. And I want to make everyone aware that it has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and to share the recording on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. And now I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very well. Anybody against the minutes, voting against approving the minutes? Anyone abstaining from that vote? Okay, then it passes. Next on the agenda, if I can find it, is the reorganization meeting. And I believe we, through no fault of our own, lost our esteemed chair. And thus, as temporary chair, I would like to nominate Steve Seidel to serve the unexpired term of that position for chair. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
I'd like aye. To nominate, I don't know if it's possible, but I was going to nominate Dean. I thought he did a great job meeting with Chuck, so I don't know how that would work.
Well, I think we have to vote on this nomination first, but thank you. I should have offered discussion.
Okay.
So let's vote on this nomination. I made the motion, and I think Lindsay seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Wouldn't we open up for nominations and then vote, roll call on an individual?
Whichever you guys prefer doing.
I believe that would be the appropriate, is that the nominations are entered and then there's votes, I believe.
Okay, I'll turn that over to staff to run then.
I'd be happy to do that. So we have nominated.
By the way, Dean, hope you're okay with nominating. I just thought you.
Oh, losing ya.
Hold on.
Try that again, Mike.
I said, hey, I hope you're okay with that, Dean. I just thought you did a nice job, and I appreciated your proactivity meeting with Chuck. So that's.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I thought that was very nice of Dean to do that as well. Okay, Chuck.
So we have two nominations for chair. Any others? So I guess we had a second for Steve. Do we have a second for Dean?
Well, do you want to start this fresh, Chuck? I mean, I don't think we knew what we were doing when there was the second, you know, kind of switch gears a little bit. Aren't we just doing like a vote?
You know, I don't know Robert's rules when there's two nominations for chair, to be honest with you.
Well, I think he's offering someone an opportunity to second that nomination. Is there anyone who would like to second that nomination?
My proposal is we start fresh and say, here's the two people that they're nominated. Let's vote. Because you kind of squeaked that one in, and then there was a quick second when nobody they were seconding. So that's, I'd say, can we just start fresh and see where it falls?
I also, not sure, I'm only familiar with the nominate, second, discussion, vote format, but Lindsay, do you know anything about?
Yeah, so I would see it as we would open the floor for nominations, someone would nominate, make a motion to nominate and receive a second, anyone else who wanted to nominate and receive a second, then close the nominations, and then do a roll call vote based on whoever the nominations are for.
That sounds good to me. So do we have a second on nominating Dean?
So I think if we're just starting over, then you would just call for nominations and then we'll restart the nomination process and move through that way.
Okay, I'd like to call for nominations and I nominate Steve Seidel.
All right.
I will second that nomination.
All right, and I nominate Dean Morgan.
I'll also second that nomination so that we can keep it moving because I got nothing against either of you.
And now, Lindsay, you're suggesting a roll call vote.
That's typically how I've seen it done.
Okay.
So, Sandy Ballard.
Steve Seidel.
And Dean?
I would have to abstain.
Well, you can do it for yourself.
I think it comes down to Lindsay, essentially what it is. So,
Lindsay?
I mean, we didn't even open this up for discussion and talking about who wants to be chair. So.
You guys want to say why you want to be or if you don't want to be?
Go ahead, Steve. I'll start. I'm very willing to be chair. Certainly, given where my life is at right now, I think it's time to take on that role. We already had Sandy was elected in as vice chair at the beginning of the year, and Dean was elected in as secretary for 1 year terms that I think go through the end of the year. So I'd be more than happy to step in and serve as chair to serve out the rest of Steve Koniak's 1 year term. And obviously we'll have new votes for those three positions again in January, which we do each year. So, I think I certainly look forward to running the meeting. Available to do so. I'm definitely willing to do that role.
Okay, thank you. Dean, did you want to say anything?
No, I appreciate the nomination, Mike, but I'll just withdraw that. Steve can be chair.
Great. Okay. That made it easier. Thank you for being so humble, Dean.
Yeah, so just for my vote being on the record, given Dean's withdrawal of his nomination, though he has done a fantastic job in working with Chuck, and since Sandy is vice chair still and Dean is secretary still, for the ease of not having to go through another round of voting, I would support Steve as chair, and thank you for being willing to serve in that role, Steve.
And are we going through the rest of the roll call or, again, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, Chuck, can you finish the roll call?
Yeah, I think you need to do a roll call vote for an officer position to be valid.
Is there anybody opposed to Steve being chair? No. Then that would pass 5-0.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
that
know if that
qualifies. Painless way to do it.
I don't want to complicate it, but I think everybody needs to individually.
Right. Yeah, individually.
Because we've done the full process of Robert's rules and everyone else has done, Mike, if you would just enter your vote so that we have the roll call vote as it was initially called, and then we can have it be proper.
Yeah, it's 5-0, right? 5. Yeah, I'm in favor. Yeah.
Thank you.
Like Chuck said, yep.
Okay. So now, Chuck, again, I'm a little, I now turn the meeting over to our new chair.
If the board's satisfied with vice chair and secretary.
Yeah, I mean, those terms haven't been completed, so I'm not seeing any need to vote on that, but I'm open to other interpretations from board members.
Let's just proceed with the meeting.
Yeah, let's proceed with the meeting, I agree. All right, then I'll turn it over to Steve. I'm sorry, Steve.
Go ahead, Sandy, I'm sorry.
I was just gonna turn the chair over to you so you could finish the rest of the meeting.
Right, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Yeah, I'm Chuck. There's no reason to, we don't need to vote for the entire group of officers because if you look at the...
Steve, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to call in separately here on for the audio. Okay, so let me try to...
I can hear you now.
We can hear you now. We can hear you now.
Okay.
Just speak up.
I'm not sure why that was. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just moved the phone a little bit, so maybe that helps. Yeah, so no, as far as Sandy and Dean's roles as vice chair and secretary, yeah, we elected you, both of you, in January for a one-year term. So we don't need to reorganize the whole board. We just needed to appoint someone to replace Steve. So, anyway, Chuck. So yeah, I don't think that needs to be dealt with at all. And that's in our administration section of the ordinance, which is, I'm just flipping to it here quick, is 225.107.4 A. Unless someone thinks otherwise, but.
No, I think we're good. I think we could just move on.
Okay, so let's move on then. So let's go to our old business. So our first item is consideration of adoption of the decision in the case of Karen Pearson, which is case number 220-04. Does anyone like to make a motion in the matter of adopting that decision?
Well, we did circulate two decisions. So in your motion, you would want to be specific about which one you are referring to. The first would be the initial Dean's suggested changes, and then the second would be the revisions that we had requested. And I circulated yesterday.
So,
yes. So we want whoever's making the motion to be specific about that, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'll make the motion of version B, which were edits that I had suggested.
And that was circulated yesterday, Sandy.
Yes.
Yes.
And Sandy, if I recall, I did read it yesterday. That was you were adding or deleting the part about the cooking facilities, is that correct?
Correct.
And why was it, why was that? I kind of was not in favor of that.
Well, I guess I was just looking at the words in the four corners of the ordinance that we were looking at, and it said each room, comma, without cooking facilities, comma, the cooking facilities only related to the rooms themselves. If we want to change the way the zoning codes are drafted, I think that is something we should work on in the future. There's a lot of room for improvement there. But right now, looking only at that provision, it did not reference the requirement that there be no access to the kitchen.
I don't know what the feedback is.
Steve, you might want to hang up and call in. I mean, stay on line, but call in on your other phone.
Okay, hang on a minute.
Or mute when you're not talking.
Yeah. I don't know if this is appropriate or if we should just, my other option was to ask that we table this decision and talk in where we can deliberate in our private conversations.
We can only table for up to 15. We have to render a decision within 45, right? So we'd have to just call a special meeting.
Why wouldn't we do that now? Just hash it out now?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah. I guess I would want to know and just get an opinion from Chuck. You know, I mean, the whole thing that we're trying to do here is to just minimize the exposure and the risk of, you know, we don't want these things to pop up all over the place and make it easier for being, you know, Airbnbs or whatever we want to call them, bed and breakfast to be all over the township. So with that added language, Chuck, in your opinion, does it make it easy, does it make it more difficult or less difficult for someone to start up an Airbnb, or does it put the township more at risk or less at risk?
Before you start asking Chuck for opinions, I think we should look at the code itself. And Chuck, can you pull that up on your screen? Can you share screen and show the actual document?
Yes, I can.
The zoning code, special exception, and the five requirements it has.
And Megan, can you get us over to the exact attachment that we should all be looking at?
The attachment with Sandy's revisions is called Karen Pearson 2020-04 June 2020 07-14-20, which is for July 14th, 2020.
Can you share a screen to show what it looks like, somebody? Chuck can do it.
Okay, there we go. Got it.
Can you make that bigger, Chuck? Thank you.
All right.
So there it is.
Got it.
All lots to contain a bed and breakfast home shall be compliant with all applicable lot criteria to the zoning district. To maintain consistency between established and proposed development, comma, parking on the lot shall not be located between the front facade and front lot line when use of an alley for parking is available, period. Parking area shall retain a residential appearance, period. C, no more than 10 bedrooms may be available or used for any such building. Is this the one that's in the district we're talking about, Chuck?
This is in the Palmdale mixed use.
Oh, that's Palmdale mixed use. Okay.
Which is where we're talking about.
Okay. Not more than one ground sign shall be permitted, and it shall meet the dimensional requirements of this chapter. Meal service shall be limited to breakfast only to overnight guests of the facility. All off-street parking spaces shall be provided on the lot. The number of off-street parking spaces and loading spaces shall be provided as defined by this chapter. All parking spaces and driveways shall be surfaced with bituminous brick, concrete, stone, or block paving material. The owner and or manager of the facility shall reside therein. An overnight guest shall not occupy the facility for more than 14 consecutive nights in a 30-day period. Meal service is when you serve a meal. It is not access to cooking units or facilities. Meal service means you serve a meal. So, therefore, I just, again, that was why I suggested we delete the reference. We can clear this up, I believe, in redrafting the zoning for the future, Mike, but right now, I don't see anything in here that says you shall not have access to the kitchen. I'm happy to change mine to table and call a special meeting to vote on it.
Bed and breakfast, okay.
All without cooking facilities. That was my other comment earlier. Bed and breakfast home is an owner-occupied single-family detached dwelling in which a maximum of 10 rooms, comma, all without cooking facilities, comma. The rooms are without cooking facilities. Again, if we wanted to be clear, we could add or change that, but right now, this is how it reads.
And Sandy, just to clarify, I think that would be for the Board of Supervisors to change.
And we would recommend to them to do so.
Yes, you could certainly do that.
So that language is there under the bed and breakfast. So I understand what you're saying. So you're saying it would appear based on that the bedrooms can't have cooking facilities, but And so that's why you're saying that we need to get rid of the board fines the guests of the bed and breakfast and not have access to the cooking facilities such as stove.
Correct.
But then when we go back and look at the 225, whatever it was, we just had up a second ago.
Yeah, Chuck can go back.
Yeah, hey, Sandy, can I interrupt for a second, please?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you're the chair.
Chuck, are you running the meeting? Because I dialed in, but it automatically muted me. Can you unmute my separate audio dial-in so that I can drop off the audio on the Zoom?
Actually, you're coming in nicely now.
Oh, well, I can drop off the other.
Okay, do that.
You should be available.
I'll drop off the audio then.
Okay. So, in any event, you were saying, Sandy, Mike, what were you saying?
Sandy, could I just clarify, are you then saying that then you would find that there was no violation?
Right.
No. If you follow the reading of the language of the decision, it says we found that her testimony was not credible and that the manager or herself did not reside at the building.
Oh, okay.
So there were two different issues. Is that what you're saying, Sandy? That were discussed. One was about the residency issue of either the owner or manager, and the other you're trying to separate that the issues about cooking facilities, or I think you're saying are not the violation versus the ordinance is not in sync, but two different issues, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just don't see anything here in the ordinance that prohibits access to the kitchen. Again, I'm happy to table this.
I would argue that letter E, meal services shall be limited to breakfast only services, meaning they don't prepare them, services, someone else is serving them, not them, provided to overnight guests. So I would have said that
if we meant it. We could have put that in clearly. And then why does the definition, Chuck, if you go to the next definition, why does it say the rooms all without cooking facilities?
All right. Well, if we're asking Chuck now, I would like, since you're asking Chuck, I'd like to be allowed to also ask Chuck my question that I was not allowed to ask Chuck earlier, which is, does this put us more at risk or less at risk? Does this make it easier or harder? So let's ask your question, Chuck, then I'll ask my question, Chuck. How about that?
So 10 rooms, all without cooking facilities, means that you are not running cooking facilities. You should only be running the bedrooms. That's the way the ordinance is written. You can rent up to 10 bedrooms. It doesn't say anything about the rest of the house.
I'm sorry, but apparently this is, if we're rendering opinions, I don't think Chuck gets to render his opinion. We can read the ordinance. The ordinance says an owner-occupied single attached dwelling in which a maximum of 10 rooms, comma, all without kitchen facilities. The parenthetical reference is to the rooms. English is English. I would suggest.
No, you're right. No, that I agree with you on that, but I also agree with you on the fact that it does specify that the occupants do not have access to the facilities because it says services provided. So you're right. I'm right. That's the bottom line. So why is it that we need to eliminate this?
I don't agree with your definition of meal service.
Mike, I think Sandy's point, what I'm hearing is that Sandy's point is that nowhere in the ordinance does it say guests may not have access to any cooking facilities in the facility at all. I mean, it needs to be clearer. I think that's maybe part of the problem here is we have an ambiguous section.
I agree with that too. It could be clear, But I also would also state that it doesn't take much extrapolation to determine that that there is one meal allowed, and that is to be served by someone else besides the guest. So and that's why I guess I'm not allowed to ask Chuck my question then, but I think it's a good question. I wish I could ask Chuck, because at the end of the day, I want to know if this makes it harder or easier for bed and breakfast to open up in Derry Township. Is this a slippery slope or not? But I guess we'll never know.
Chuck, can you weigh in on that, please?
So the ordinance is written that in a bed and breakfast, you are renting bedrooms, right? Where up to 10 bedrooms can be rented. No more than 10 bedrooms may be available for any such use, and with a maximum of 10 rooms, all without cooking facilities, are rented to guests. I don't see anywhere where it allows the rental of the kitchen to be included in the rental of a bed and breakfast.
But Chuck, if that was our thinking, then they also have, the guests shouldn't have any access to any other. They do. I mean, I thought.
Steve, I can't hear anything.
I think we're having trouble with you again.
Is this any?
Steve, can you turn your video off and then speak? I think that you're having bandwidth issues.
Hold on. All right. How about now? Is that any better?
Yeah,
that's a lot better.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm on a cell phone, unfortunately. I apologize for that. The zoning ordinance, if it doesn't prohibit, if I understand it correctly, and Megan, please jump in here if I'm incorrect legally, but the zoning ordinance doesn't prohibit something, then it's permitted. Is that correct?
I mean,
it doesn't prohibit something, it's permitted.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I'm just processing it.
I think what you're saying, Steve, is that it doesn't specify any what rooms, you know, would be available. Like, it doesn't explicitly say that a kitchen is not accessible. It doesn't say that a bathroom is not accessible or a living room. It's only talking about bedrooms.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, for us to say that if it doesn't explicitly say the kitchen is not permitted to be accessible to the guests, if it said that, we wouldn't have an issue. We wouldn't be debating this. It would be clear.
But the fact that
it doesn't say that, then doesn't prevent, not just in this case, but in any case, and frankly, I would agree that a bed and breakfast shouldn't allow access to the kitchen for guests. However, that's not what our ordinance says.
So if you start saying,
you know, they only have access to their room because that's what it says you're allowed to rent. And that also means they don't have access to the yard. They don't have access to the living room. If you start interpreting it that way, you're interpreting something into the ordinance that's not there. I think that's
wouldn't it be implied because it's a residential dwelling? It's a residential dwelling, so a residential dwelling would have a cooking facility, a living room, that. And that's probably why it doesn't have to be explicitly stated. One or the other. It's saying that each individual bedroom does not have cooking facilities in it.
It's not
a motel, not an ensuite, whatever.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, if I could just interject. I think that you've all raised points where the ordinance could be clearer.
Right.
But it's your job to decide how to interpret the ordinance based on what we have.
I at the end of the day, I don't want to make it easier for these to pop up. That's all I'm saying. And it would appear as though eliminating that language could potentially make it easier for these to pop up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with Sandy saying it's not worded as concisely and clear as it could be. What I am saying is that there seems to be an implication in the fact that there is only one meal that is being provided as a service to guests. Meaning, I mean, if they said let's do an analogy. If they said as a service, there is 1 hour of television allowed as a service to the guest, wouldn't the implication be that that's the only service that you get is 1 hour of television? If there is one meal that is being provided as a service to the guest, wouldn't it be implied that the guests are not to be cooking other meals there? My thought would be yes. And again, bottom line is I don't want to make it easier for these to pop up. Eliminating this language, in my opinion, seems to make it easier. That's all I'm trying to say. If you disagree, let's vote on it.
I know what you're saying, Mike. Because you're trying to not set precedent for...
Right.
This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. I'm a little nervous about where the dialogue has gone. And again, I defer to our solicitor, but I believe the dialogue has gone to places we might not want this to be going. So again, I would offer that we could go to private.
Let me answer Mike's question real quick. Mike, if you're worried about precedent from this particular opinion, it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily set a precedent. And Megan can step in on this as well, but it's not going to set a precedent with respect to it. I do disagree with the deletion of the materials in this particular one, but I think that's up for a vote. But to answer your question that you've asked of Chuck, I don't think either way it's going to set a precedent as each decision is decided on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, well, that certainly helps. That's all I really wanted to know. I mean, if I'll play along or go along, but you know, I guess at this point, we're just voting on if we keep it or not.
I would agree with Dean that you know, each case is different, each property is different, but I think if you're going to take the position that the ordinance has nothing to do with the cooking facility, and that's the way you interpret it, you would be hard pressed in another case to say that there is a violation because the cooking facility is available. If you're not now saying, if you're explicitly saying that you've interpreted this so that the ordinance doesn't prohibit cooking facilities from being rented, you can't use that as a decision in another case. You would want to be consistent in your interpretation.
So in a roundabout,
you might find some other reason to find a violation in another case because of the circumstances of that case. But I would urge you to, if you've decided that it's 10 rooms all without cooking facility and those rooms don't have, as Sandy said, cooking facilities in those rooms, then you should be consistent the next time too. Unless you have some other basis based on the circumstances of the other case to find a violation.
Yeah. And Megan, I presume there is no, in our order, there is no provisions for dissent or anything like that. We just have an order, right?
I'm sorry, what was that?
We just have to make a decision, if I'm understanding correctly, on which one of these opinions we're going to use. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gene, to that end, Dean, so I mean, I'm just gonna add one thing. I don't know if there's, just give anyone else a chance to add one last thing, if you have anything else you wanna add before I suggest we put this to a vote. And that is, so for me, one other, you know, there are things in this case and also in the ordinance that bother me about B&Bs, okay? And this cooking facility issue is clearly one of them. I mean, I would say my opinion, not that that is, that's not what matters here, but my opinion is that B&Bs, by their nature, shouldn't have access to cooking facilities. That's been my experience in life. That's been my experience in terms of what distinguishes a B&B from, say, a short-term rental or a boarding house or something else. Okay, but another piece, though, that in this case bothered me, that again is not relevant to the order, but I think it's relevant to this discussion about what's opinion and what's law relative to the ordinance, and that is, B&Bs are essentially, in my experience, again, my life experience, in my opinion, are individually rented rooms, okay? In this particular case, she's not renting rooms individually. And to me, that's a problem, but that was made, there's nothing in the ordinance that says you can't rent all 10 rooms, if you have 10 rooms, or less than 10 if you have less than 10. That you can't rent them all to one party. It could be the ordinance that says that. But,
Steve, I think we're losing you again.
You're breaking up again, Steve.
I'm trying to distinguish. I think.
Steve, you're breaking up. We can't hear you, Steve. You'll have to call in. I can't believe it. Again, I would just offer as a counter position, because I'm concerned about where this has gone, I would motion that we may want to move into executive session so we can discuss this and the according to our procedures. I defer to our solicitor on that, but I'm, you know, that would be another option I'll throw out there at this point, because
I would like to please motion to suspend the meeting and move to executive session.
And I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I think there's three in favor, so we're gonna move to executive session. So can you do that, Chuck? Do we exit? What?
So we need to use the link for executive session.
Yeah, so we'll exit this meeting and move to executive session.
Chuck, you're muted.
I said I'd like to point out for the record that there are no attendees on the Zoom.